seeking the Lord's help for a little while this morning and your very prayerful attention. Turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and we'll read for our text verse 13. Exodus chapter 12 and reading verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The words particularly on my heart are, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There had already been 9 plagues that the Lord has sent upon the Egyptians, and we read in the first verse of chapter 11, the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence all together. And how we see that with the spiritual Israel, that Satan is a hard taskmaster, and he will not let his prey go easily. But bless God for the election of grace, for that number that no man can number, only God himself knows, and they are all in the Lamb's Book of Life, recorded, those who shall be saved from the wrath to come, those that shall be found sheltering in the precious blood of Jesus, those who, as the Israel were found safely in their houses, as the blood was sprinkled over the doorposts and lintels. And so we have this condemnation that there would be a solemn day coming for those who had been oppressing, cruelly treating the children of Israel. 430 years they were there, but there comes a time, and the time is decreed by God, and if we had the time, we could look into it and see how everything was so ordered that exactly the day that they went into bondage, so it was on that day, 430 years later, that they were released. And as it was on the 14th day of the first year that we read of, that it shall be at the beginning of months, so we understand that corresponds to our April. And so on that 14th day of April, that a precious Jesus, as this lamb was to be taken and roasted and killed and the blood sprinkled, on that 14th day, so on the 14th day, that a precious Jesus, he was roasted in the fire, the anger of God. What a blessing. Do you ever wonder about this? Do you ever marvel at it? That God's own dear Son, his only begotten Son, that he was born to die, the just for the unjust. He who had no sin, God himself, God himself in the person of his own dear son, that the wrath of God was poured upon him. He wouldn't be a just God, would he, were sin not to be punished. It was pointless so far as salvation went for our Jesus to live a spotless, holy, harmless life and then just to die. There would be no salvation in that. But he must suffer. As we think of him suffering, being roasted in the fire, that which he passed through prior to him going to the cross, as he was mocked, as he was spat upon, as he was scourged, and many would die under the Roman scourge. And our Jesus, he goes through all of that prior to him making an atonement for the sins of all of his dear people. And as he goes at 9 o'clock in the morning to be hung upon that cross, and at midday, the midday sun is darkened, I believe, to such an extent there had never been a darkness before or since, such as that darkness when the Father hid his face as he poured his wrath upon his own dear beloved Son. That justice was done. Oh, the agony of a precious Jesus, as he paid the price, as he made an atonement, as he, the second Adam, he restored that which was lost in the first Adam. And as Adam and Eve were taught that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so from that early day, blessed be God, that though they fell, and the whole of mankind, everyone since, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, heading for the furnace of hell. And yet this precious promise that blood is shed. All these this fig leaf dress, absolutely hopeless. Hopeless indeed, could not save from one sin, let alone the whole of sin, destined for an eternity in hell. But to see in those animals that were killed to replace their fig leaf dress, that this was the shedding of blood, that it clothed their nakedness. And so, dear friends, the precious blood of Jesus, it washes away at the sins, every sin of his own dear elect. That it's just as though we'd never sinned. As that simple explanation of a holy God's righteousness, justice being satisfied. That it's just as if I'd not sinned. That as he sees the blood, he doesn't come looking. He doesn't come looking for, am I an Egyptian? Am I an Israelite? Am I a Jew? Am I a Gentile? He comes. He comes looking for the blood. looking for the blood. Oh, am I, are you, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Do our lives reflect that we're living in Christ, that we have been washed in the Redeemer's blood, that every day that we go seeking cleansing in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness? Oh, there are many that they are sheltering under a false notion. Yes, they're sheltering. And oh, dear friends, may we each be preserved from this, to shelter from that which indeed redemption has been accomplished. Precious Jesus, as he gave his life a ransom for sinners, as the fountain was opened for sin and for uncleanness, blessed be God that, yes, redemption was accomplished. Redemption was accomplished. But, dear friends, has it been applied? Has that redemption been applied to you? Has it been applied to me? Am I quickened? Oh, have I union? Have I been born again? Is my life completely different to what it was? Is it my desire to be found here? To be found here in this unleavened state, seeking by God's grace that I leave the old behind, that I leave those things that cumber me about so much in this dark world of sin? Oh, that my desire is ever to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things besides. You know, it's a precious thing, and when we're younger and we have youth on our side, we have strength. And how precious it is, dear friends, to seek that while we're young, that as the Lord has been pleased to bring us out from under the condemnation of the law, and has been pleased to bring us up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, has put a new song in our mouth as he has set you and I, we trust, upon the rock Christ Jesus. And Satan will ever, while you're young, as he has to all of us while we're young, to ensure that our strength isn't given to the Lord, and to seeking to magnify his great and holy name, to seek to speak well of Christ, to seek that we may be reflecting the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, reflecting him, he who knew no sin, but was made sin on our behalf, that we are washed in his blood. Oh, you know, as we get older, as we come closer and closer to the grave, do you not find it that we spend many, many a day, many, many a week, many, many a month mourning, yes, oh, a mourning over our sins and after a precious Christ. We're not satisfied that redemption has been accomplished. We bless God if we have lived approved and to be favoured, to be born again, to be washed in the Redeemer's blood, that redemption has been applied to us personally. But it comes so close, doesn't it? That Christ, Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And how that in that chapter in the Corinthians, where it speaks of that one that the church is holding on to, who is living in sin. And that gives us such an example to us each of our walk with God. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. And as that church in Corinth were guilty of turning a blind eye to sin in the church. Oh, friends, how much closer it comes, doesn't it, where we, that we are found lacking, aren't we? Found that there is that secret sin that we're holding on to. And we find that there is still leaven. And so, dear friends, these things, though they're very, very searching, how blessed it is to be amongst the people of God. And in this world which is moving at such a vast pace, and there is that desire to keep up with the world, and Satan feeds that. And so as we reflect over the years, since we trust that redemption was applied, that we were blessed and favoured experimentally with this blood, sheltered beneath the blood, sheltered in his riven side, in his wounded side, born again, came to understand that which Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and our desire then was to ever be found in this way. But many days have passed since then. Many changes I have seen. And do you plead, but have been upheld till now. Who could hold me up but thou? Yes, even when cumbered about with this leaven, with these sins. But blessed be God for the finished work of Christ. And as it is our desire, and as I was saying, that as we get older and we reflect on the wasted opportunities that we had and the disgrace that we must have been to the world, as we didn't reflect that we were sheltered, under the precious blood of Jesus, that we have been washed, that we ever make recourse, daily recourse, to that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Well, bless God for this substitute, as this lamb must be slain. And we read in the fourth verse of our chapter, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Bless God, he's a sufficient Saviour. He's a sufficient Saviour. Oh, as the enemy would have us, perhaps this morning, or perhaps as we're coming to the Lord's Supper, and you're being so tempted. Do you find those of you that come to the Lord's table, that it doesn't get any easier, does it? Doesn't get any easier. but he's a sufficient Saviour. Once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep, or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat. Oh, and so, dear friends, as experimentally as you and I, and oh, may it be the living desire of those of you that may be here this morning, that maybe you're satisfied with just a nominal religion. You're satisfied that redemption has been accomplished, and it's been of no concern to you that it should be applied personally. Or maybe that's your longing desire, that you're burdened. As Israel was burdened in bondage for 430 years by the Egyptians, and you're proving that the law is a hard taskmaster. Well, you press on, you knock on, you press on. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. And if you faint, to Jesus cry, and he will send supplies. That day will come when this will be applied. This will be applied to you personally, as you're quickened into life, as you're delivered from going down into the pit of hell. Oh, as you hear that, in effect, thou art mine. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Thou shalt be mine when I make up my jewels. And so they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. And friends, and as we press on, having been blessed with this glorious application, the blood applied, we shall ever have those bitter herbs. Those bitter herbs, not just as the dear psalmist said, of remember not the sins of my youth, but the sins that so daily envelop me, and that cause bitterness, sorrow. Oh, and so in fellowship with a suffering Saviour, that it was to be roast. It was to be roast. This lamb, this spotless lamb, was to be roast in the fire. How precious, dear friends, that as John the Baptist came declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," to be amongst those for whom he made an atonement for sin, that he laid down his life for a ransom. Quickened, poor sinners, as that redemption is applied, and a poor sinner is quickened into life. Oh, as the hymn writer, he puts it something like that, doesn't he? That when our sins are forgiven and so on and so forth, it's from then, from that day, the conflict begins. But blessed be God, the righteous shall hold on their way. And yes, and you'll say, well, there's nothing righteous about me. No, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. But blessed be God, that when our Jesus, in that 3 hours of utter darkness, as he was roast in the furnace of God's wrath, he entered into hell. Oh, there are those that will teach that when he laid in the sepulchre, that he was in hell. No, friends, he's resting then from his labours. Our poor finite minds will never ever begin to understand it, will it? That. All of the sins of the whole of the election of grace, that our Jesus, that he paid the price, that he drank that cup completely up. What a cup it was that he was dreading, wasn't it? That he'd ever known that he was to drink this cup. And in Gethsemane, he prays, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And how precious. Oh, as they were mocking him, weren't they? As he's on the cross. "Oh, if thou be the Christ, come down and save thyself." Oh, mocking him. You who said the temple be destroyed and be built again, raised again in 3 days, come down from the cross. What love that he could have come down from the cross. But what love. That during that 3 hours, someone's put it like this, that in an infinite, that in a finite space of time, an infinite holy God, poured upon his own beloved son, all his wrath, so that he would shed his blood, and his blood would be sufficiently shed in that 3 hours as he drunk that cup, as he entered into hell. And he drunk that cup for all of his dear people, so that they would not be drinking the cup for an eternity in hell themselves. And so an infinite God in a finite space of time, that our precious Jesus, he atoned, he paid the price, he suffered for an infinite number of sins. Oh, a number of sins that's known to God. But can you, if we were to have a recording play of our past week, of just the past week, how many sins there would be that we'd be mourning over? Oh, multiply that by the number of days and weeks and months and years that we have led, that we have lived. Precious Jesus. Friend of sinners. And so this blessed sacrifice, this sacrifice for sinners, that this judgment that shall pass through, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Oh, the firstborn of Egypt died. Egypt was a proud nation. They were proud of their strength. And it was to be the firstborn that they would be so humbled as every house which had not the blood. That the firstborn, the eldest child, would be killed. Would be killed. Oh, but when the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And so, dear friends, he says to you and I this morning, as he said, as Moses, under the inspiration of the word of the Lord, as he relayed to them that which God said to him, that 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Well, as we come to a close, we have the communion service before us. Dear Paul, in writing to Titus, and he says in the second chapter and in the 14th verse, in the 11th verse, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, seeking to be rid of the leaven, those things that do hinder us, those things that take up, as the dough was to be without leaven, that it shouldn't rise. So these things that rise up against us and take our first love, the love of Christ, take away our affections from him, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us. Plead it, seeking soul. Mourn over it, backsliding sinner. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, peculiar to God, known of God, that when he sees the blood, when we breathe our last, or when Jesus returns, that we shall be safe in the arms of Jesus, living in Christ. We shall die in Christ, or maybe not be found outside of Christ, and to find that we spend an eternity drinking that cup instead of our Jesus having drunk it in that desperate 3 hours of darkness, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And that might come very close as those who profess to be the people of God, they despise such that have been favoured to have this glorious redemption applied. Amen.